Okay, now watch it. He wrote a step for us and used a series of words, which means basically the same thing as these words up here. In our fourth step, he said, we made a searching. And we're putting searching under the personal side, straight across from fact-finding. I mean, the same thing. To find the facts, to search out the facts. We made a searching and fearless. And we're putting fearless straight across from fact-facing. To face those things as they really are, to fearlessly look at them. We made a searching and fearless moral. And there's where we got in trouble. We said, oh, shit, there it is. There's that list of dirty, filthy, nasty items. And we don't want to look at them. We sure as hell don't want to show them to somebody else later on in step five. Now, I'm not sure what all Bill Wilson knew, but one thing I am sure of, this guy understood the English language. And I think if he'd wanted you and I to make a list of dirty, filthy, nasty items, I think he would have said we made a searching and fearless amoral or immoral inventory of ourselves, and he didn't say that. He said moral. Bugged us and bugged us and bugged us. Finally back to the dictionary. You know what moral stands for? Truth. Things as they really are. The right and wrong of any given situation. So moral and truth mean identically the same thing. We made a searching and fearless moral inventory of what? Of ourselves. We're the only stock in trade that we have in this business of staying sober. Now, nobody else can make us drink. And nobody else can make us sober. We decide whether we're going to drink or not. So as I make this searching and fearless moral inventory of myself, I'm going to look right up here in my little head, and I'm going to try to find those things that block me off from carrying out the decision I made in step three. And as we talked about in step three, there are three common manifestations of self that blocks God out, and they're always present in every selfish, self-centered human being. One is resentments, one is fears, and one is the guilt associated with the people we've hurt in the past. So what I'm going to do is I make this searching and fearless moral inventory of myself. The part of me that causes me to drink or not drink will be my thinking process, and I'm going to find those flawed thinking processes that block me off from God, and when I find them, I'm going to try to get rid of them promptly and without regret. And all selfish, self-centered people will display these same three common manifestations of self. Resentment, fear, guilt, and remorse. Now, I like to look at my mind up here as just a little bitty store. Not very much. A little quick trip. It's not as big as a 7-Eleven. A get and go or come and get it or whatever you want to call it. Just a little bitty store. Now, up here in my store, I have some display cases over here. And they're filled with resentments. Damn him. Damn her. By God, I'll show them. They're not going to treat me that way. The next time they do that, I'll do this. I'll put it on and on and on and on and on. God can't get in my mind. He is very effectively blocked out by those resentments. If I want God to direct that part of my thinking, I must do something about the removal of those resentments. And then and only then can God's thinking come into my mind. You know, God told the human race, he said, I love you enough that I'll let you live out there on self-will until you die. He said, I'll never take it back from you. You're going to have to give it back to me, and I can't give it back to him as long as my mind is filled with resentments. The people, the places, the things I resent, they are controlling my thinking. They are directing my thinking. And if they do, God can't. It's just that simple. Over here on this side of my store, I've got a little file cabinet, and it's filled with fear. Oh, my God. What's she going to do when she finds out about this one? Oh, my God. What's the banker going to do when that check gets in there? He's already told me he's going to file on me the next time. Oh, my God. What's the boss going to find out when he finds out? What's he going to... Oh, my God. And on and on and on and on. You know, that file cabinet's already full. God can't get in there. He's very effectively blocked out by my fears. Back here in the back of my store, I've got a little storage room. And it's filled with guilt and remorse associated with the people I've hurt in the past. We're not drunken bums. We've got a conscience. And as long as that storeroom back there is filled with guilt and remorse associated with those things from the past, God can't get in there either. He's very effectively blocked out. So if I want God to direct my thinking, I'm going to have to do something about the damaged and unsalable thoughts that very effectively keep God blocked out of my mind. Resentments, fears, and guilt, and remorse. And thank God our book is going to show us a very simple way to look at these things, to see the truth behind them, a way to get rid of them, and the greatest thing of all, a way to keep them from coming back in the future. And if I can get those things out of my head, then God can direct my mind. But until I get them out of there, God can't. The things I resent, the fears, the guilt, the remorse, they control my thinking for me, and God can't. It's just that simple. Look at what he says. We did exactly the same thing with our lives. We took stock honestly, truthfully, morally. First, we searched out the flaws in our makeup which caused our failure. Being convinced that self manifested in various ways of what had defeated us, we considered its common manifestations. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stem all forms of spiritual disease, for we've been not only mentally and physically ill, we've been spiritually sick. When a spiritual malady is overcome, we straighten out mentally and physically. In dealing with resentments, we set them on paper. Now, before we set resentments on paper, let's look at that word. If we don't understand it the way the writer understood it, the information is going to be flawed information. The word resentment comes from two old words. R-E. When you see R-E in front of another word, it always means to do again, to repeat, to do over, to repaint, replay, rebuild, always means to do again. The last part of that word, sentiment, comes from an old word called sentire, which means to feel. So the word resentment means to feel again, to feel again. Okay, in the scheme of life, I'm going along fat, dumb, and happy. And somebody who is sick in self, in the social instinct, security instinct, or sex instinct, they're sick in self and they do something to me that hurts one of my basic instincts of life. Maybe they threaten my social instinct in some way. Maybe they threaten my self-esteem. Maybe they threaten a personal relationship. Maybe they threaten my security. Perhaps they rip me off. Maybe they threaten my sex life. And when they do that to me, that's not a resentment on their part. That's a wrong for doing so. It doesn't become a resentment until I go off in the other room, or I go home that evening and sit down in my easy chair, and I replay that thing in my mind. And as I replay that thing in my mind, I feel the pain the second time. I re-feel that thing. And after a while, I sit there and I play it over again. Now, the stupidity in it is that they hurt me the first time, but now I'm sitting there doing it to myself. They're not even here now. They're clear across town. And I found out one thing about my resentments. I'm not always too honest with myself. As I replay that resentment and feel the pain the second time, I tend to distort the picture just a little bit. I tend to make what they did a little bit worse, and what I did a little bit less, and the pain just a little bit deeper. And let me sit there and play it over and over and over and over. It no longer resembles the truth at all, because I distort it each time as I play it. You know, I compare these resentments to a good football game. Back in our part of the country, we love football, and you guys love it out here too. And sometimes in a football game, you'll see one of those guys get hurt real bad. You know, maybe they tackle him and just turn him upside down and falls on his head, and his legs go one way and his arms another way, and you can tell that he's really hurt when you see him hit the ground. Now, one of two things is going to happen. The football game is just like the game of life. It's going to go on. You can't stop it. When this guy's hurt, one or two things are going to happen. They're going to run out there and check him out. And if he's not hurt too bad, they'll pump a little air into him, get him up, and the game starts again. But if he's hurt bad, they'll drag him off to the side, put somebody in his place, and the football game starts again. Now, the announcer up in the booth, he's got a resentment machine. Because after a while, he says, let's look at that again. And this time, it's in slow motion, living color. You can see the expression of pain on his face. And it looks twice as bad this time as it did the first time. And after a while, the announcer says, let's look at that again. Now, the game's been going on for 15 minutes, and the announcer's sitting over here bouncing this guy up and down, off the ground.